most students of Roman history are very familiar with the Second Punic War. The Punic Wars being the wars between Rome and Carthage. But, of course, it's the Second Punic War, which has all the glamour people. You know, Hannibal with his elephants crossing the Alps, and, well, at least a few of them made it. And Scipio, Africanus, and all those battles and whatever. And the First Punic War gets overlooked because, after all, it's the warm-up. It's the one where the two of them fought, basically had a treaty at the end because they were both exhausted, but they were ready to get into it later on. There's an interesting moment that occurs in the First Punic War, a war which has its ups and downs. Most of the major battles in the First Punic War actually fought at sea. And for a while, the Romans were terrible because they really didn't have a navy. And then they finally figured out that the best thing for them to do would stop trying to fight naval technique-wise, ramming and whatever, and use what they were good at, which was fighting on land, to fight on sea. So once they built a corvus, which is a drawbridge that they could lower and drop on enemy ships, and then they'd carry extra troops, well, the Romans seemingly were invincible. They'd just try and get as close to the enemy ships as possible, drop the corvus down on them, and then send, you know, their legionnaires across to beat the living daylights out of the other guy's ships, who was basically just full of sailors. But, you know, this goes back and forth. So the Romans lose for a while, then they win for a while. They actually invade North Africa, and then they're pushed out of North Africa, and then they start having reverses. And one of their most famous reverses took place in 249 BC at the naval battle of Drepana. And it's at this battle that we have what I'm going to refer to periodically as a Custer moment, where we have a general, seemingly knows what he's doing, who makes a bonehead mistake, and it ends up costing him. In this particular case, we have the commander of the Roman fleet. His name is Publius Claudius. You know, last names are family names, and you know, there are a lot of surnames that go into this. But Publius Claudius met a Carthaginian ship, actually a Carthaginian fleet that had about 100 ships, and he had about 100 ships. And he had prepared pretty well for the battle. Things seemed to be pretty good. So as morning dawns, it's time to take the auspices. You really wouldn't think that this takes place, but in the ancient world, this is a big deal. There is usually a soothsayer or a priest of some sort who makes a prediction. At the Battle of Thermopylae, Leonidas had a man named Megistius who used to make the predictions in the morning based on what he saw as animal behavior or cutting open an animal to read its internal organs. You find this in ancient Babylonia, which is divination. Auspices is either looking at the way animals, nature reacts, thunder and lightning. The Etruscans were really big on lightning and natural phenomena and watching how the animals were, and the Romans kind of inherited it. Well, when you're out at sea, obviously you have all sorts of natural phenomena, but in this case, on Claudius's ship, the priest had with him a coop of sacred chickens. These were special chickens that, for some reason or another, were believed to be able to give good indications of whether there were good omens or bad omens available. Well, in the morning, the commander asked the priest, what were the omens? Well, the omens weren't very good. The weather was great, but the omens were terrible. He was informed by the priest that these sacred chickens would not eat. Well, you know, beautiful weather, you're all keyed up, you've got the enemy right where you want them. You know, he probably asked a couple of times to go and check, but our accounts show that what eventually took place is he became a little frustrated, and he goes, well, if the sacred chickens won't eat, perhaps they'll drink. So he picks the cage or the coop of them and throws them into the Mediterranean Sea, and then proceeds to go to battle. Needless to say, since I used the title A Custer Moment, he's going to lose 93 of his 100 ships. He's going to have 8,000 killed and 20,000 captured. And his Carthaginian opponent lost absolutely nothing. They didn't lose any ships at all. I'm sure some people had to be killed. Law of averages says somebody accidentally shoots somebody in the back with an arrow. But so the commander loses. Okay, now losing is one thing to some cultures, but to the Romans, if you're a general and you survive the battle, you are going to be called to Rome for an accounting of what took place before the Senate, which is exactly what happened to Claudius. He was brought in, he's standing there in the courier, the little central part of the Senate. These people want to know what the heck happened. And he just says, well, you know, they were just better, we were overpowered, etc., etc., etc. Well, he had another bad moment. What he failed to neglect was, you know, there are people who witnessed that. And one of the senators got up and said, the reason you failed was because you offended the gods. And they brought in the priest that had been on the boat. And the priest then related to the Senate what had transpired. And it was a miracle that they didn't execute Claudius. He was exiled for a while, but he did manage to keep his skin. So I guess the moral of this story is that if you're going to throw the sacred chickens overboard, you better tie them around the neck of the priest that's making the predictions too. But to give you an idea of just how long this natural phenomenon thing lasts. There's a great moment during the reign of Augustus. There's a big thunderstorm. Of course, you remember the stories of the night before Julius Caesar is assassinated. There's lightning and thunder and all kinds of stuff. Well, there's a thunderstorm that hits Rome, and a bolt of lightning strikes Augustus Caesar's statue, and burns or melts the C off of the name Caesar. And Augustus interpreted that to mean he had 100 days to live and became very depressed, very downturned, when several other people approached him, including the future Emperor Claudius, who was well versed in Etruscan customs, and came to me and said, you know, Caesar, you know, the gods could be honoring you. And Augustus goes, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, the word E-A-S-E-R means great lord in Etruscan. And he said, how do you know it meant that the gods said you're only going to live 100 days? Perhaps it was signification you were going to live to be 100 years old. Well, he felt better about that. So these auspices frequently can be read kind of like our horoscope. There's a good side and a bad side. So, but unfortunately for Claudius, he made a mistake in throwing the chickens overboard. A lot of good books on the Punic Wars. Unfortunately, a lot of them just deal with Hannibal. Of course, you have the Roman accounts of the wars with Hannibal, which are superb. But an excellent book on all of the Punic Wars, which is relatively new, is a book entitled The Punic Wars by Adrian Goldsworthy. And it gives interesting background stories, and it's got charts, and it doesn't overwhelm you like some of the other books do. So those are really, really good. And don't forget to go by my website and see some of the other stuff that I've done. And there's also a spot where you can tell me if there's a subject you'd like me to talk about, or do a little research for you, or what have you. So thank you.